snow, stinking weather. You guys get it. It's going to be cold for a few days, and then it gets warm out there. Joining us on the phone right now, you guys, we have some amazing professionals from our community. We have Dr. Malcolm Horn and Christy Beals from Rimrock joining us. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Oh, very, very nice. Let us start with what are you guys doing about COVID-19 at Rimrock? Obviously, you've got a lot of people there. I'm sure you're taking some precautions. Fill us in.
We are doing a lot. And it's funny that you asked because since last Friday, but it's really been how do we juke and jive, provide patient care, but yet also knowing that we have to keep people away, but how do they come to treatment when they can't come to treatment because of whatever? So it's been a lot.
So we're taking the stance of minimizing exposure for everybody, for our staff, for our clients. We've really minimized guests coming into the building, any visitors. All of our staff have changed to doing any meetings via teleconference like we're doing today. And we're checking temperatures. So all patients who are coming in as new admissions, we're asking them, have you traveled out of state? We're checking their temperatures on admission. Any patients who are in outpatient status, same thing, have you traveled out of state? Do you have any guests in your home who've traveled out of state? And then checking temperatures on everybody, just really trying to make sure that we're maintaining a healthy environment for our patients and our staff who have to go home to their loved ones and take care of them.
Right. And we canceled Family Week, which was a big deal, because in the 14 years I've been here, Family Week is one of the big things that we do, and we made the decision we're not going to do Family Week this month because we just can't take that risk.
Obviously you guys are taking some major precautions here. How does this affect, that's for the people that are in there. What's going to happen? Just explain, say, today's the day that this, the bars are closed. All of a sudden, that was my breaking point. I'm not going to go to a bar today, and I've realized I've had a problem. I've been in a bar every day. How does that affect somebody that decides today's the day they want to reach out and finally get help?
They can still do that. They can call in. We'll go through the exact same admission process, making sure, one, that they're appropriate for care just from the clinical perspective. Do they meet criteria to have, a high level of substance use treatment or mental health? And then saying, okay, physically, do they have risk factors? Do they have a temperature? And I think that's what people really need to know, that when it comes to substance use treatment, someone once told me that the opposite of addiction is connection, which when we're being told social distancing, how do we do that? Because part of recovery means I do have to reach out. I do have to connect to others. I need to go to my groups. I need to have a counselor, et cetera, et cetera. And when you can't necessarily do that in a physical sense, it presents some challenges. So what can we do to set things up? Telehealth. Can we do remote things with patients to help keep them in the treatment process, in the admission process? Do we help them do those things? And so that's one of the things that I've noted is that for so many people, and the 12-step community has been phenomenal. There are some online meetings people can access. So really trying to recognize that, for a lot of people, recovery means I do have to reach out. I do have to connect with others. But how do I do that when we are all being advised social distancing? So one of the things that I've been trying to tell people is social distancing, but physical distancing. You still can socially connect, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through AA.org. NAMI has some good online resources, all of those types of things. So that's, if people want help, if they are in that place, give us a call. We will still do whatever we can to help you get that help.
I would just add that we're just taking those additional precautionary measures. We have not stopped taking admissions for our programs. We're just adding additional screening questions and doing some assessments to make sure that those clients are safe the minute they walk through the door. And if they're not, we give them alternative resources. But I can tell you so far we have not had to turn anybody away, and that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I'm just excited that you guys are taking so many precautions there, and watching out for this. How is could COVID-19 affect somebody that is already dealing with serious mental health issues or an addiction? What sort of an impact does something like that have on, there's just so much to deal with there. What advice should we give people out there in the community struggling already and now struggling with this on top of it?
Well, I think, I mean, that's a great question, because actually, you know, this population, like a lot of our populations, are some very vulnerable facets of this population. So, first of all, the COVID-19 really influences the respiratory system. So when you talk about people who are vaping, smoking, either cannabis or tobacco, their lungs are already susceptible. So this population might be a little bit more susceptible to begin with. Also looking at, you know, opiates and amphetamines, those can also interact with the respiratory system. So they might be vulnerable in that way. This population also, there's a high level of folks that are homeless or incarcerated in this population. And so we know that the people who are homeless or incarcerated, they have another risk level. So if people want help, we will help get them whatever care that we possibly can. But recognizing this population has some vulnerable aspects to it. And so we really have to be saying, how can I help, one, educate them that, one, we will still give you whatever care we possibly can, and that also still reach out, but be aware that you may have some more vulnerable risk flags, so to speak.
And I would just add that the stress for everybody right now is so high. Everybody is anxious, and there's a lot of decisions that are being made out of fear. And so taking care of everybody's individual mental health is really important, and we're trying to emphasize that with both our clients but also with our staff, and meeting with our staff and just saying, you know, make sure you're taking care of yourself, because stress can be so hard on the body. Mm-hmm. And then we make those decisions based out of fear. And so it's really stepping back and doing a lot of self-care, making sure that people are getting enough sleep. And it sounds really basic, but making sure that they're taking care of their basic needs, eating regular meals, getting sleep, going out and getting some physical activity. You don't have to do that in a group. You can go out for a walk.
Right.
We've been blessed with some really great weather this week. But really making sure that people understand, like, your mental health has an impact on your physical health, and it all connects. So we want to keep our community as healthy as possible.
And I think we all see that. I mean, I think every single person, whether you're already struggling with substance use or mental health to begin with, we're all a little bit more on edge, right? We're all just a little bit more anxious and being aware of things. And so that can really tax your system as well. And so just being, you know, take those, I think someone once said, this is not a time for panic. This is a time for caution, mindful cautiousness. So, you know, like what Christy's saying, get some sleep, you know, wash your hands, right?
Yes.
Don't lick the shopping cart when you go to the store, all of those types of things, right? Let's, what do we need to do to just take a deep breath, be calm, and do those preventative things that we know we can do to take care of ourselves.
I agree. And you brought up, we've been speaking about addiction and about mental illness. And that's one of the cool things about you guys there at Rimrock, is you deal with substance abuse disorders and mental health, and those together. They often, you know, both are in place in somebody that needs help, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the research tells us usually around 80% of people that have a substance use issue also have co-occurring mental health. Now, they may or may not have a full-out diagnosis, but they almost always have those symptoms. And if you think about that, you know, if I'm struggling with, let's just say, alcohol, and I come into treatment and I go through the detox process, I probably have a lot of anxiety just about that detox process. And then I have anxiety or even some depression, because now I get sober and, oh my gosh, now I have to deal with all this stuff that's happened in my life that I've neglected, that I haven't taken care of. So even if a person doesn't necessarily meet full criteria for, you know, a mental health issue, they probably have a lot of the symptoms just due to the problems that they've incurred in their life related to their substance use. And so really being able to say, all right, what is mental health? What is substance use? And honestly, if the symptoms are there, I want to treat someone regardless. What coping skills can I give you? If you're anxious and worked up about, you know, the legal issues or your family issues, how do I help give you those coping skills to deal with it? And that's really what it has to be about, is recognizing. I actually talked to a gal yesterday who is saying how, you know, she really, it was like a light bulb went on where she was like, oh my gosh, when I get stressed and anxious, I go right back to my addiction. And she was kind of like, oh, so it's about the addiction, but it's not. It's about how do I manage my stress and my anxiety? One of the terms I like to use is called distress tolerance. You know, how much anxiety and stress can I tolerate? And we all have a threshold. We all have a certain threshold that once we meet that threshold, we kind of tip over and we get even more worked up. And that's where we see a lot of problems. So what do I do in my daily life to keep myself below my tipping point? And sometimes it's kind of like what Christy said, just that basic health care. I have to get enough sleep. I need to do exercise every day. I need to eat healthy. I need to do those things. And then when those stressors or, you know, because life happens, right? Life happens. How do, you know, then I've got enough of a buffer that I don't go sideways. And so it's really, I mean, we look at the symptoms. There's so many symptoms of mental health and substance use that are the same, right? They overlap all the time. And so it's really about symptom management, coping tools, and how do I make it individualized? Because everybody's anxiety might look a little bit different. How do I tailor it to be individualized? And I think that's one of the things that we do really well at Rimrock is we say, you know, individual, what do you need? Do you need medication-assisted treatment? Do you need peer support? Do you need an individual counselor? Do you need a group? What do you need? And then really trying to juke and jive and get those needs met. And I think it's been actually kind of, I don't know what the word is, but just these last several days in our leadership team, really showing that we can juke and jive. We can say, you know, the needs of our population, the needs of our programs are a little different right now because of this outbreak. So, all right, what do we need to do to juke and jive? And we try to do that on a daily basis.
There you go. And you're still there and you're doing the good work. And that's one of the cool things. As we were talking about these different disorders here and different things people are dealing with, that's what's great about Rimrock is that you guys are dual licensed. I mean, you don't have to go one place for mental health and one place for addiction. In-house, you guys can handle all of that, right?
Right.
I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's so convenient. You guys have
I
everything.
Know, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And we won't shake your hand this week. We will do a little elbow tap or whatever we do. We'll keep our distance to keep you healthy. You know, that's how we do it individualized.
There you go.
Chrissy's smirking at me. You can't see it, but she's smirking at me.
I figured she would. Speaking of that, on a very important note here, I normally don't get your guys' bios printed out because I normally are digital, but I have it printed out in front of me, and I noticed Christie's is about a line or two longer than yours, Malcolm.
So. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I need to take that up with her.
But
I have more initials after my name.
That's true.
I mean.
But I think I did the analysis. I feel like she tagged on some of her nice, cute, personal stuff about enjoying the outdoors and family at the end, and yours is strictly business. So maybe just
Because I have no life. It's all work. All work and no play.
Maybe pretend.
We need to change that. No, we need to change that.
I just maybe add that you love exploring the beautiful outdoors of Montana. People don't need to know if it's true or not, but just to get that extra line so you at least match Christy in bio length.
Oh, I'm going to have to add to mine now. Thank you.
Right?
Now it's going to be a battle.
Malcolm's hobbies are crawling up in a cave and reading a book. That's her hobby.
We have the same hobbies. I love it. You guys, if somebody needs help or somebody in their life needs help, what's the easiest way to reach out to Rimrock and see if you guys are the right fit or just ask some questions or get help? What's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Give us a call. Our phone number is 248-3175. Or you can send us a note via our website, and we will get back to you right away. And the phones are working, the internet's working, and we have some great staff who want to be able, they're coming to work every day and keeping themselves healthy and safe so that they can take care of these really vulnerable patients and make sure that they get the care that they need.
And that we have been shouting out, you know, first responders and medical professionals everywhere.
Yeah,
we definitely do need to shout out everybody at Rimrock, all the professionals there that are, you know, doing that important work there and, you know, risking being around people because they have to, and you guys have to, and we appreciate that on the outside. And also remember rimrock.org. Check them out there as well. And thank you to Malcolm Horn, PhD, LCSW, MACSAP, and Christy Beals, RN, MBA. So.
Thank you. And just our PSA, don't forget to wash your hands out there and stay home if you can.
Yep.
I love it. Malcolm and Christy, thank you so much, ladies. Have a great morning, and stay safe up there at Rimrock.
Thank you.
Bye.
They said my name even. Those girls are so cool. I like to call them girls as if they don't have 900 letters behind their name and husbands.